You're having a threesome with Jennifer Golden, Lauren Leonelli, and Rob Evers. And now, It's Complicated.
Hello, Master Daters. Welcome back for another episode of It's Complicated.
Your fave podcast for all things dating and relationships.
A one-stop pod shop for the latest trends, reality TV, and celebrity couple gossip.
Plus, everything we've got going on in our own love lives.
We're your village, and we think you can't date or relate without us.
And you should be pumped to be here because we are bringing you the expertise and guests who are filled with all the answers that'll take some guessing out of the game.
Make sure you subscribe and share our pod with your friends so we can help grow the village even bigger. You can find us at It's Complicated Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to tell a friend.
Time to talk about celebrities and their love lives because it makes the regular people's drama feel way less complicated.
Today, we are dishing on how Kristen Cavallari is getting her groove back. Hey, girl, hey. Why we all need to get on Raya and swipe right on Lewis Hamilton. Hello. And whether Giselle cheated on the greatest of all time. We had to hit our weekly episode quota of mentioning Tom Brady for Rob. So here we are.
Well, luckily, something was in the news, so we were able to do that so seamlessly.
Yes, exactly. Ooh. It worked out. And also, we should start out by saying that we did talk about Kate Middleton and all of the theories that everyone was guessing on where she was and what was going on. Obviously, I mean, at least on our side, it was out of concern, but we were talking about what we were hearing and then what we thought might have happened based on the theories that were floating around. Not that we were like completely making up, but we have since heard that she is alive, and thank God, and that she has some type of cancer in the abdomen area, which is awful. And like we said on our show, we are thankful that like she's okay and that her kids are okay, but we were just like discussing the theories and whether or not it had to do with relationship issues, because that clearly was a thing with the royals in the past. So that's why we were talking about that before, but thank God.
Yeah, I think it brought up stuff like that was that people have been talking about, but now can be like really talk about, like the Rose stuff has been out there. You know what I mean? So like, I think it brought up all these conspiracy theories, and it's funny because I talked to a couple of my other friends who have other podcasts, and I said that we put out, you know, an apology type of thing. And they were like, really? Do people have to do that? And I was like, I think the girls just felt like they wanted to clear the air, you know? And then I started seeing like other people starting to do it too. But the thing is like anybody was malicious. It's just the rumor mill was started.
Right. And we weren't wishing anything upon her. I think though, to your point, Rob, what happened was we were gaslit by the Crown. And as a result, we were trying to piece together the story, just like anyone does in a relationship where you don't have all the truths, you try and figure it out. So we were trying to do that for ourselves. So we had some sort of closure because it was driving us nuts and we were spiraling. And so you guys heard us spiral with all the theories. And I think what the root of it is we don't trust the Crown. And when you watch the show, The Crown, as an example, it gives you plenty of reasons why you shouldn't. And so that is the root of this issue. Not that like Kate's the problem or any of it. It's that it's a systemic issue in that they don't tell truth. And so, I mean, we don't even know if what they did tell us about her cancer is fully true, when they found out about it, all of those things.
But then they were also like, right. And some people, there are some people that I know that are still like, well, I need the doctor's notes. I need the proof. I need the x-rays, because this still can, they could just be saying this and all of a sudden she's going to be fine, you know, and that she got the best care in the world or whatever, because she's going to be the Queen of England soon. But the other thing is like the cover-ups that they try to do fueled it. Like there was a small fire, and then the palace itself kept throwing shit onto the fire that made it bigger. Because if they were just like, we said she's not going to be around until Easter, then everybody would be like, oh yeah, you said that in the beginning, right? But then they were like, Photoshop this, fail that. Who's that person shopping? Who's this? We're like, well, now you're making it so we have to fucking think something's happening.
Guys, it's just like being in an unhealthy relationship, where the guy is like maybe went and did something, or the girl, and you're like, question it. And then the lies to cover up the question make it worse. And then you're on the phone with your friends going, well, I think this is happening. And I think this is exactly what we just did, right? Like, when you have a trust issue with anybody, friends, like anybody, workmates, relationship, romantic relationships, it breeds insecurities and it makes your anxiety mind start spiraling. So, you know, that's what happens, guys.
Yeah. And they fueled it.
Yeah. Well, and we're recovering, but I do want to address one thing, Lauren, you brought up during that episode about them like paying or owning the press. And when you watch The Crown, you see how there are reporters and things that will come to them and leak us. They'll tell them the story is coming out and they will say, do you want to actually contribute to this? Do you want to read the headline? They'll show them the print even and give them the ability to edit it. They also came to them on a number of occasions saying, I'm going to write a book about you. You either can weigh in with your personal telling of the story from your end, or we're going to find out from your friends. So a lot of their memoirs and things were actually
disclaimer, The Crown is a fictional series on Netflix. It is not a documentary and it is not a biography of any kind. So it is a fictional story with truths added in, sprinkled here and there. But even the creators are like, please don't look at this as historical. This is a TV show. So just a disclaimer, although I'm sure that there's a lot. Well, I mean, I don't know whether they want to cover their ass or not, but I'm sure there's a lot of speculation of conversations because obviously they weren't there. Yeah. So like just to throw that disclaimer out there that Jen makes a lot of references to The Crown and makes it seem very historically accurate, which it is not. All right.
But I mean, it's probably safe to say that some shit like that is going down. So
yeah, like, yeah.
Everyone's in their business. Some they're born into it, so they don't really have a choice, which kind of sucks. But at the same time, you know, it is what it is. And we're all talking about it. So there's that. And you know what else we're talking about is Kristen Cavallari. And she got her groove back. She's like OC royalty right there. And she is dating a much younger man. And we're going to talk about double standards, y'all. Like, are we still talking about this? And why do we talk about this? Rob, why do you think that double standard is from a guy's perspective? That like when a woman, a 37-year-old woman is dating a 24-year-old man, boy, what are they, man-child, then it's like everyone has to talk about that. But if it was the other way around, no one would be like 37-year-old so-and-so dating.
I think it's the opposite, actually. I think that when a woman does it, it's fine. When a man does it, he's a fucking pedophile.
No, but like I think
Hugh Jackman's wife was way older. The guy who just got his, he just got offered the role of James Bond, Aaron, what's his name? He was Kick-Ass. I can't remember his name. Taylor Johnson.
Ooh.
His wife, Aaron Taylor Johnson, I think is his name. He was the lead in Kick-Ass, and he's in a lot of movies. You would see his picture and be like, oh yeah, we like him. He's like a heartthrob, but his wife is like 30 years older. And like nobody talks about, like whenever it's a guy dating an older woman, it's fine. Or, you know, a woman dating a younger guy, it's fine. But when a guy's like Leo DiCaprio gets shit on all the fucking time for the same age gaps, you know, it's the other way around. I think it's okay for a woman to do it. Like, all right, for example, Tom and Katie, right? Katie has very openly been dating around and dating younger people, like after her and Tom's divorce. And everybody's like, go get yours, Katie, go get it.
You're talking about Katie Maloney and Tom
Vanderpump
Schwartz. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Cause but like, we could be talking about Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise, not to be confused with the Vanderpump people. So we're talking.
I thought everybody realized this wasn't 2016, but so Katie's known, they've even talked to her on Watch What Happens Live. They're like, you know, ooh, and everybody's like, Katie, go get it. And then like, she's like, yeah, I'm hooking up with young guys. That's what they're there for. But like, if Schwartz goes and hooks up with a 24, which is happening now, like there was a girl on his Instagram and TikTok. He was like 23 or 24. Everybody's like, ew, gross, you're disgusting, perv, like all this other stuff. So,
well, he can't do anything without being called something bad. So,
to your other point, I think it goes the other way. I think if like Kristen Cavallari doing it, she's getting hers. Good for you, girl. You have three kids. You went through a shitty thing. Whereas if it was somebody else doing it, a guy to a girl, they'd be crucified.
Well, I don't think that anybody, I mean, I don't know that anybody's crucifying her or other people in the past. I mean, they made a whole movie about it, how Stella got her groove back. Like Demi Moore.
Anne Hathaway just did a movie about the whole fucking thing.
That's what I'm saying. And Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher. I mean, all everyone could talk about was the age gap. What I'm saying is whether it's a negative or positive thing, it feels like, and you brought up great examples of the reverse, but it does feel like everyone talks about it. I mean, to say that it's the other way around, I don't know. I think it maybe then it's more balanced than I was thinking, but it definitely happens for women. I feel like it's a lot more, and it has been in the past, okay for an older man to date a younger woman. And maybe people might comment on it, but it happens more. Now, this is starting, the roles are reversed, and women are starting to do it more now. Why do we think that? Because before, it wasn't the case, really. It was always, always an older man and a younger woman.
So I actually think that both of you are right, and it has evolved, and that there are different connotations now as a result of gender roles kind of changing. And also, I think the real root of it is that when there is an age gap that significant, people actually don't believe it to be a real relationship, so they don't take it seriously. So depending on, you know, which gender is the older or the younger, it doesn't matter as much as it just not being taken seriously. But in the case of Kristen Cavallari and Mark Estes, like, they're already posting on Instagram or whatever app that they're like seeing each other. They're very public about it. So I think that begs to ask the question, like, how serious is she taking it, or is she just having fun publicly, and is he taking it seriously? But when you see that she introduced him to her kids, you're like, well, that seems like something that would only like a serious person would do. But maybe they have a different dynamic in their family, and like, you can introduce, or maybe all of it is because what's his face, Jay Cutler, has been doing worse. So maybe because he's been doing things, she's like, fuck it, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want.
And also the kid thing, I mean, I guess a general rule that most people follow who have children and then get divorced or start dating somebody else, they usually say it's best to wait a little bit before you introduce, just so that there's not a lot of like revolving people coming into the kid's life. But it is a case by case situation. Clearly, if these kids are of a certain age, or maybe they're really excited, like, mommy, are you going to be dating somebody, or daddy, who I want you to bring home a so-and-so. I mean, maybe you test the waters and it's that way. But in this case, Kristen has a podcast, and on her podcast, she said when he came over for the first date, they met then. So literally they met before the kids, they met before the first date, and her mom happened to be babysitting that night. So her mom met him and her kids. She said her kids were super excited. Come see our room. We want to show you our bedrooms. And like, are very excited for her. So maybe in that instance, you feel more okay introducing them to your kids. But for the most part, I think people try to play that like, got to be.
Yeah, maybe she had a conversation with the kids about mommy's going to start dating again. And like, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, I think that it's the women or men or whoever the caregiver is of the children that makes the decision, I'm going to keep this separate until it's time to introduce them. And then there's people that are like, I'm going to involve my children in every step of this because they need to know. Because sometimes if mommy's dating somebody for like 6 months and it gets serious, and then all of a sudden they meet the person, and the caregiver is always going to be like, it's a deal breaker if my kids don't like them, you know? So then you're already invested in this relationship. And then if the kids and they don't get along, then like, you just wasted that much time. And the kid might be like, who the fuck is this? And why are they coming around?
And it's
if they're invested in the whole process, then maybe it's easier for them to be like, okay, well, it was nice meeting you, or this is just mommy's friend, or this is the, you know what I mean? Like,
I think there's ways, that's a good point. I think there's ways to keep up boundaries within that though, because you do have to be careful. There's something called, it's an actual like term called parentifying your child. And it's when you expose them to too many things that are adult-like, then it puts them, it can be kind of dangerous because A, it's like maybe not something they're able to like actually emotionally handle or understand. And B, it puts them on the same level as you. So you want to make sure that there's always like therapists and psychologists will tell you like levels in relationships and any type of relationship where like it's parent to parent, child to child, or parent to child, parent to child. You don't ever want those levels to be confused. So you don't ever want to parentify your child, bring them up to the level you're at, because then it's going to be hard for them to like pay attention to authority, take direction. They're going to think they're in charge, and it can manifest itself in like a lot of negative potential ways. So you would introduce your child right away to prevent those things that Rob was just saying, which are great points. But the boundary is to not expose them to too much. Like you wouldn't want to tell them obviously like, well, he was supposed to call me yesterday, but he didn't. Or
no.
He's feeding on me. You know, not that you're suggesting that. I'm just saying that would be the boundary there. So,
right.
You know, that is a great point. And I think it could be, you know, it's like maybe it's a little bit more of the modern day era thing to like, okay.
Well, I mean, listen, the mom's there too, right? The mom, I mean, she just brought in that guy was probably like, whoa, what the
fuck? Thrown to the wolves at 24, right? Right? Yeah. Into the lion's den.
Well, maybe that's his jam. Maybe he's really mature for his age.
He could be.
Right.
He could be. Maybe this is what he wants. Maybe.
We don't know. Well, so speaking of another dating age gap that has existed in the past. Lewis Hamilton from Formula One had at some point dated Shakira. So there was a significant age gap there, and another like single parent, single younger guy situation. And I think at some point she was called out for dating younger as well. But anyway, he's back on the market and back on Raya. So that gives singles out there some hope that there is potentially quality on these apps. If we think he's quality, I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's quality. He's hot. Shakira and Lewis are like 7 years apart, I want to say. So it's not like a massive age gap, but it's still, she's older. But he's on Raya, you guys. So ladies, if you're in London, because allegedly that's where he's swiping a lot and while he's traveling, get on freaking Raya and go on a date with Lewis Hamilton. Hello? I mean,
but that's why Raya is Raya, right? Raya, you have to like be, you have to have other people that are in there. You have to like go through a verifying process, and then you have to like be accepted onto there. So it's not like anybody can go on there and find him. He's on Raya because he wants to meet, you know, a Sports Illustrated model or another Shakira.
Or so another like Paul Scherzinger, who he also dated. But
he wants to find like a celebrity. So he's on there. And well, that's why Raya is so hard.
Raya is hard, and you have to be of a certain caliber or whatever.
Also, it's worldwide. Yeah. So a lot of these people are like, you know, he might be in London, but he might want to meet, you know, somebody who is also around the world that he, because he's, I've never watched the show, so I'm not familiar. I went to the F1 out here in Austin, and I was like, oh, it's interesting. But, like, I don't know who these people are. So, like, but he travels around the world all the time. So, like, Riot to him might be like, I'm in this town right now. Who's around? I'm in this town right now. Who's around? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't
know if he's, like. That's what apparently he's doing. But he says he's looking for the one. He was on the app in 2015 too. I feel like it's kind of like in the more developmental stages of the app too. I think I might have even been on it then. anyway.
Me too. In fact, Rob, wait. Actually, speaking of big events like Formula One and things like that, South by Southwest just happened in Austin. Did you go out and meet people? There were people from all over the world there.
Nah. You know, it's funny because it's, I made a joke. It's like living in Park City when Sundance is happening, you know, cause it was like, there was stuff going on like downtown and in this, but then it's like, you got to get there and then there's parties and then you got to get an event and you got to get in there and you got to, and I was just like, but my couch. Now, if I like, if I like went purposely to Austin to go by South by Southwest, and I would have gone to everything. You know, you purposely go to Park City to do that. You go to things. But when you live in that city and you're like, this Survivor started tonight, I'm going to watch that instead. I really don't need to go hobnob next to people that I already know from Los Angeles that are coming in.
Hobnob.
Do you know what I mean? So no, I did not do that. I went to like one thing where I met Rachel Bilson and her podcast. We went to a live podcast for Rachel Bilson and her friend Olivia. And they had the lead girl from Reservation Dogs on there. And my friend Alex and I went because they did Mammoth together. So that's the only people that I really met. But
Well, it's still an event that you could, you know, you're making yourself social, putting yourself out there and having fun and being part of the scene in a way, and could have potentially met somebody. You know, you never know, Rob, you never know. Hopefully you put a cute outfit on and got yourself all spiffy.
I think at this point I know.
Yeah, you do know, but you also you do know. If you, everyone always says that too. That's why Jen and I joke about that. You never know, because it's like, yeah, but we do know. We do know when we go to this fucking bar, like we always do, or this person's party, or whatever, that it's going to be fucking stupid. But there is a very small chance that you could meet somebody.
Yeah, my friend Alex and I just went for a hike today, and we were talking about that because we have friends that are getting married really quickly. They got engaged in the wedding, I think within like 6 weeks or some shit. So the wedding's this weekend, so people are coming from all over that are all friends from California, from LA. They're all from LA. And the people that are getting married, I know from LA, and they live here now. I lost track with them, so I'm not going to the wedding, but other people are. And my friend Alex is going, and I asked her, I was like, do you think you're going to this wedding? Like, you think you're going to? She's like, no. I already know every single person that's going to be at this wedding.
But so this will just be. Though. She doesn't know every single person, because there could be a random fucking waiter or a musician or the singer or somebody's date that's like not.
Well, that's why I said, you never know. You know, she is going to go get a spray tan. So you never know.
Get the spray tan for yourself.
Exactly. Just show up ready.
Get it for yourself because you want to look and feel good for yourself. But on the off chance that you might be taking the dress off and it hides a little cellulite and makes you feel good, just fucking do it. There's a 1% chance. And sometimes you just do things for the 1%. But
I'm just trying to prolong this conversation as much as we can.
You don't want to get onto the next. Speaking of 1%.
Don't want to
1%
mention Tom Brady again.
We don't want to talk about Tom Brady, but we do want to talk about Giselle. First of all, I mean, we're talking about the greatest of all time football player in the history of the 1% of the
best. Who do you think is the greatest model of all time?
Then I was going to say Giselle. I don't think it's Giselle personally. I think it's Cindy Crawford. That's my cup of tea. Mm. But Giselle is definitely.
I was going to say Cindy Crawford is so like quintessential.
Oh. You don't think Christina Brinkley?
Christy Brinkley. I mean, she's also fucking great too. I mean,
her. Or like Iman, or like there were some big. I mean, supermodels were the deal.
The '90s had all of them. Christy right. Turlington,
Kathy Ireland.
Oh. Well, she wasn't really a supermodel. I mean, she. I guess she was.
She was with Chrissy. She was with all of them.
She was. She was like a step underneath them, I want to say. But what's her name? Oh gosh,
Patricia Costa.
No, Heidi Klum, Claudia. Oh,
yeah. Heidi Klum might be the best of all time.
I mean, you guys, these women are like just unbelievable. But Giselle is also. I mean, it's not a shock that these two paired up.
Giselle
right?
just never made anything out of it except for marrying Tom. I mean, she's no. Don't get me wrong. I think was the highest paid model of all time. I think she was making like millions of dollars for every time she did any kind of shoot. But and I think she's like, I think she's way richer than Tom Brady is.
They call her the body. They literally and, called yeah. her the body.
But she didn't like Heidi Klum franchised it. Does that make sense? So she went and did like a Project Runway. And then she went and did like America's Got Talent. And then she went and like put her, like made it so Heidi Klum was like out there all the time.
Yeah, she had like a jewelry line and stuff. I mean, I don't know if Giselle did anything really, like, I don't know details about her.
Except for yoga instructors. Oh!
Actually, it's a jiu-jitsu instructor. So let's get into that.
Oh.
Giselle, in a recent interview, was asked if she cheated on TB, according to the dating timeline.
Tuberculosis.
Yeah, TB.
That's what his initials mean.
Tom Brady. You're such a hater. Anyway, so she is apparently at like within, I want to say it was, they got divorced. Their divorce was finalized in October 2022. And within 1 month, she was seen with this Joaquim Valente. He's a jiu-jitsu instructor. You guys, this fucking jiu-jitsu instructor hit the fucking lottery, dude. He's like, I'm a jiu-jitsu instructor. This is my life. And then he meets Giselle and starts doing sex with her. And now they're like together. He must be like, pinch me. Is this
She
real?
Denied it at first though, right? Wasn't she like, yes. I just bring my jiu-jitsu instructor yes. and my people with me when I go on vacation.
Yes. And maybe that's still the narrative. I don't really know if she's still like, we're not together or not, but apparently
she hasn't confirmed anything.
I don't know if she has or hasn't, but also the article that we all are looking at here is saying that they're deeply in love. I don't know if that's source saying that or if she, I think she may have confirmed it in this interview, but she definitely confirmed that she never cheated on Tom Brady. But the timeline was so quick, it got people like their, you know, hair standing up. Like, wait a minute, this is...
What is the reason why they came out? Did they come out with a reason? Was it because he signed on for another year and she was like, if you do this, I'm out?
Nobody's saying, I mean, there's so many speculations. I actually heard about their divorce randomly from somebody that knew them, like before it became public, like a little bit before it became public. But the reason I think seemingly was centered around football, but it, you know, I mean, I don't.
Well, in this article, she's quoted as saying that she needed to leave an unhealthy relationship yes. and that her current relationship has nothing to do with that other than she left one and is in a different one. And I think these two make more sense on paper or not on paper. Sorry. Maybe on paper, actually. Like you would think that Tom and Giselle would be a match because they're superstars of their industries. They're super famous. Yeah, you know, they could understand
Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Fame. Exactly. It's like that. But then in this case, like if this guy's a jiu-jitsu instructor, like he's got the Portuguese, he's got the Brazilian, he's got the whole vibe. Maybe they connect on a different level. And maybe she's like, I actually don't need somebody to be a superstar. I now need something different. So I kind of appreciate that he's not super famous. And also, I wanted to surface a question to you guys. When people are saying like that she, you know, maybe started an affair with this guy and cheated on Tom Brady, when do we really think their relationship was over? Just because it's not announced publicly or the divorce isn't finalized, is that considered cheating or is the relationship over and they're just getting around to it?
I would say, look, if it was like, if they decided to break up and they were over and like it happened years ago and then they finally did the paperwork then and they talked about it, then that's fine. But if it's something that's still kind of fresh, you don't start dating somebody else. I would consider that not, I guess it's not technically cheating, but I would consider it like emotionally cheating.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's why people started talking about it. But I think, you know, everyone has their different versions of technicalities and you don't know if Giselle and Tom, there was a lot of rumors again, where there's smoke, there's fire. So we can assume it came from something, but we don't know. There was a lot of rumors about them having problems before they were even separating. So who knows if that was actually real, but you know, sometimes
also let's remember, and from my experience, and I've had a lot of experience with NFL players, like knowing them as friends, they cheat. Like they
had a lot of experience with NFL players too.
Yeah. Well, you were probably the cheat. So like,
I wasn't,
but they like, from what I know and what I've seen with my own eyes, these people are married and they love their wives and all that other stuff, but they take what comes to them. And Tom Brady probably had a lot of stuff that came to him. So maybe at this point, Giselle's like, you've been fucking people for the past 10 years. Like, I'm going to go have my fun now. And I don't care what anybody thinks because you put me through all this shit. You know,
I've never heard anybody say that. I think Tom is so squeaky clean that nobody says that. But you never know. He could have, but I think it was more the rumors swirling around like football and NFL related were more, I think, and again, we don't know the real truth, but it was more related to him being so devoted to this sport and not spending enough time with his family, and speculation about him saying he was going to retire at a certain point. And
I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. I'm sure that was the final straw, but I would also argue that because Tom Brady, so squeaky clean, that like he was probably like, listen, don't fuck up. Do what you want to do. Don't fuck up my reputation.
And that, I think, and Giselle kind of fired back a little bit in the interview where she said, no, you know, I was not, that's a lie. I was not cheating on Tom. And she did say, I left an unhealthy relationship. I think that was in her way of saying, like, you know, there was, don't blame this on me. There was other stuff that was going on. Plus, she said, why is it always like this? When a woman gets out of an unhealthy relationship, people blame her for cheating. But it's like that, again, we're talking about double standards here. She kind of called that out. And it's true. We don't really know.
Well, I think that if he started dating somebody right away, that people would have speculated on him.
And why are we not hearing about him dating somebody right away? I want to see the hot chicks that Tom Brady is hooking up with. Because you know he is. You know he is. There was some rumor about some super beautiful blonde, all American looking blonde girl that was like a massive fan of his. Mm-hmm. And then apparently they started dating or something, but you don't hear anything about it. And I'm like,
wasn't he also flirty with like Kim Kardashian?
I heard for a minute in the tabloids. I heard that too. She is. What? I think there's some rumors about people she is dating that we're going to see.
Odell.
Soon. Currently.
All right. All right. Well, yes. Double standards they used to exist. I think they're balancing out nowadays. I think
their double standards are balancing out, and get your groove back, y'all. Swipe right on Lewis.
Also, swipe right on us and keep tuning into It's Complicated, where we talk more dating and relationshipy stuff. And while you're there, subscribe, rate, comment, share the show with a friend, even one you meet on a dating app. Anyone can listen. And if you want to join the class of master daters, don't forget to follow us on social media at Complicated Show. You can find me at Jennifer Golden on all the social meds.
You can find me at Forever's Evers on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Lauren Leonelli on all the social meets as well. Bye.
Talk at you later.
Thank you for listening to It's Complicated. And now that we're going steady, come back next week for another date with Jennifer Golden, Lauren Leonelli, and Rob Evers.